Spiritual man, Feather Necklace spoke his mind in council. Let white missionaries live here, and soon they will tell us that everything we believe is wrong, said Feather Necklace. Feather Necklace was among the hundreds who died in the smallpox epidemic, the white man's plague that decimated the Yankton Reservation in 1901. He was 83 years old. By that time, BIA had decreed that, like whites, Indians must have single surnames. So on the official rolls, the names of Feather Necklace's children were shortened to Feather. His son, the first John Feather, was my mother's grandfather. The second John Feather was my own grandfather. So you see, I come from a long line of patriots. Long before whites came to my ancestors' territory, there thrived a grand alliance of blood and kinship called the Seven Council Fires. We called ourselves allies. The allies are a matrilineal society. Although my father's heritage was the Oglala Band of the Lakota Nation, I was raised mostly among my mother and her people, an extended family of grandparents, aunts, uncles, cousins, and in-laws. In 1887, the U.S. Congress, ignoring hundreds of treaties with Indian nations, passed the infamous Dawes Act. Ostensibly, it was to make Indians into responsible citizens by giving them as much as 320 acres of land. Of course, it was just another attempt to separate Indians from their land, aimed at eliminating America's Indian problem by eliminating America's Indians. One must understand that to an Indian, ownership of land is a foreign concept. The earth is our grandmother who provides us with everything we need to survive. How can you own your grandmother? How can you sell her? How does a piece of paper that you probably can't read prove ownership of something that can't be owned? Even if you're white and you think you really own some land, try skipping property tax payments for a year or two. After Dawes, instead of living among extended families, most Indians were settled on small parcels of land. Many, however, never got legal title to their land and eventually lost it, often with the connivance of corrupt local government officials. Other Indians, without money to buy implements, livestock, and seed, leased their parcels to whites. My grandparents raised most of their own food and lived in a very traditional way. They kept their allotment land for many years, leasing some to whites, but retaining enough to plant acres of corn and a huge vegetable garden. They also raised livestock and several horses. For most of my early childhood, I spent my summers with my grandparents in Greenwood. From Grandpa John, I learned of our tradition that each person receives four names. The first comes at birth, the second during childhood, the third on becoming an adult, and the last as an elder. Each name is given before the corresponding time of life, so people have the opportunity to live up to their names. By age 5 or 6, a child will grasp that concept. Everyone from elders down to young children seeks to live up to the names. And in that way, our entire society strives to live up to its name. Although my white name is Russell, my mother also named me Wambli Ohitika, or Brave Eagle. It is a good name to live up to. Grandpa John taught me to feel things, to instill wisdom instead of merely knowledge. In that way, during my childhood, I came to feel the Indian's love for our grandmother, the earth. In the linear mathematical way of the Eurocentric male society that has long dominated America, that doesn't work. One is expected to know things, to believe things. Knowing and believing are all in your head. There is nothing in your heart. If you cannot feel that the earth is your grandmother, then of course you will find it easy to rape her, to behave.